Thank you for joining us for Living Hope. It's our desire today that through the inspirational music that we'll be playing for you and through the scriptures that we'll be reading to you and from the message that our host will be sharing, that we can bring into your heart, into your home, and into your circumstances a message of living hope. So join us and listen as we share that message with you today. And now, here's our host.
Welcome to a new program of Living Hope, brought to you from our church in Malmö called Europaporten. My name is Mats and I'm your host today. So we, ICF, the International Christian Fellowship, we gather here at the Europaporten Church every Sunday for services in English. We do that at 10:30 and our address is Stadiongatan number 25. It's a big building between the Good Morning Hotel and the football stadium. The entrance is grand, so you can't miss us. Bus number 34 stops right outside our church, and there is a lot of parking places around our church or at the Coop store just in front of us. We also have a website. It's icfeuropaporten.se. Go there to find out more about how to get here, what we do, when we meet, and who we are. But you can also listen to sermons and radio programs, look at pictures and see statements. So do that. And when you come at the information desk, just ask for the ICF service and then they will guide you to where we are. Today I would like to talk about if the grass looks greener, it's probably AstroTurf. And this is from HTB. A campaign by one online agency offered a dating service for married men and women who wanted to have an affair. The agency is by no means alone in this market. What was different was that they executed an extensive advertising campaign specifically on massive billboards next to motorways with the slogan, "The grass is always greener." And here I have to stop reading and just reflect on what I'm reading and thinking. I thought a lot of things were odd that was going on in Sweden, but I never heard something like this. Wow. Well, we continue. Essentially, they were making money feeding on people's weaknesses and helping them to be unfaithful. This may seem attractive, but the reality is that it can ruin lives of the individuals involved, as well as the lives of their partners, their families, and their children. Jesus put faithfulness alongside justice and mercy. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mother Teresa said, "I'm not called to be successful, but to be faithful." God's faithfulness towards us gives an example to follow in our own relationship. Faithfulness is something we should strive for in marriage, friendship, in our relationship with God.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Bread, his blood, the wine, broken and poured out all for love.
The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn.
Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
So be faithful in relationships. Turn to Proverbs 7, 6 to 20. Proverbs 7, 6 to 20. The book of Proverbs warns of the dangers of unfaithfulness. We see in this passage the foolishness of both the man and the woman involved in a sexual relationship outside the marriage. There is a contrast throughout the book of Proverbs between the ways of the two very different women. One, on the other hand, there is Lady Wisdom, see chapter 8. And on the other hand, there is the adulteress, and this is in this chapter. Much of the teaching is presented as the advice of a father to his son. The father urges his son to embrace Lady Wisdom, but to avoid the adulteress at all cost. It has been said that opportunity knocks, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Sexual temptation is pervasive. At every corner she lurks. It offers instant gratification, but it is deceptive. She says, "Let's drink deeply of love." Sometimes people try to justify unfaithfulness by using the word love. Yet there is really no love here. It is certainly not deep or long-lasting. It only lasts till morning. Worst of all, giving in to these temptations is unfaithful. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. The person who follows this path lacks judgment. The mistake was not staying well away, but going near her corner, in the direction of a house. To live a life of faithfulness, start not just with avoiding acts of unfaithfulness, but with our thoughts and in our heart. Part of the deceptiveness of unfaithfulness lies in its secrecy, as the dark of night set in. Unfaithfulness has the potential to destroy a marriage or a future marriage and to ruin lives. That is why on a wedding day, the bride and the groom promise to be faithful to each other as long as they both shall live. As often been said, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. It is greener where we water it. In fact, if the grass looks greener, it's probably astroturf.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know. God is on the move. Sets men free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Be faithful to God's calling, His promises, and His message. Turn to Luke 2, 1 and 20. Luke 2, 1 and 20. The faithfulness of those who played a part in the birth of Jesus is inspirational. First, be faithful to God's calling. In this understated account, we read how Joseph went to Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. It can't have looked good. Joseph knew that Mary had not been unfaithful. However, he must have known that to everyone else around it looked as if she had. However, he was utterly faithful to God's calling and to Mary, no matter how it looked from the outside. Second, be faithful to God's promises. Mary must have been bewildered by what was going on, yet she believed what she had been told. She was faithful to the promises she has received. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is a wonderful example of what to do with prophecy and other words that you sense may be from God. Sometimes you need to keep them to yourself. Like Mary, keep your mouth closed, at the same time keep your heart open. Treasure up God's promises to you and ponder them in your heart. Third, be faithful to God's message. The shepherd's message was very different. However, it was good news for all people. Once they have found the baby in the manger, as the angels had described, they spread the word concerning what had been told them. You too have been entrusted with the amazing message about Jesus and are called to faithfully spread the word. Fourth, trust that God is faithful. Above all, this is an account of God's faithfulness. Everything that God has promised to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds took place just as they have been told. Yet, God's faithfulness to them was a part of something even greater. We begin to see how Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's promises in the Old Testament. He is born in the town of David, and his earthly father is of the house and the line of David. He is the promised king to whom the whole Old Testament points. He is the Messiah. This is good news for all people. We see here how a glimpse of what that means for us. Jesus is our Savior, through whom you can know the peace and favor of God. You no longer need to carry a burden of fear. In knowing Christ, you know God. He himself is God. He is the Lord. God's faithfulness and love are the bedrock on which everything else is built.
Through valleys of shadow, we walk unafraid. There in the battle, we're lifting your name. Standing together forever, we're marching on. And though darkness surrounds, there's hope in our eyes. For you are our victory, our joy and our prize. Standing together forever, we're marching on. We are believers. All our hope in the risen one. And we are soldiers. We're fighting with faith and love. And we are pilgrims on a journey to reach our hope. Standing together, we are the children of God. Oh, we are the children of God. Oh, and nothing can stop us, for you're on our side. Even in dying, our souls are alive. Standing together forever, we're marching on. We are believers. All our hope in the risen one. And we are soldiers. We're fighting with faith and love, and we are pilgrims on a journey to reach our home. Oh, standing together, we are the children of God. Oh, the children of God. Oh, we are the children of God. We are the children of God. Yeah. And we are believers. All our hope in the risen one. And we are soldiers. We're fighting with faith and love. And we are pilgrims on a journey to reach our home. We are standing together. We are the children of God. Oh, we are the children of God. The children of God.
So turn to Numbers 5:11 to 6:27. Numbers 5:11 to 6:27. Be faithful in response to God's faithfulness. Be faithful to your marriage partner. The elaborate instructions here are an indignation of how destructive unfaithfulness can be in a marriage. Whereas our passage in Proverbs was a warning against adultery, this passage deals with the consequences of adultery. However, the law recognized that suspicion of sexual unfaithfulness was not enough. It might have arisen simply out of jealousy. There might have been false accusations. It was particularly important to protect women from false accusations as their positions in ancient society was more vulnerable. If the woman was innocent, this test meant that she had nothing to fear. The water was not harmful in itself. The law required a demonstration of guilt rather than one of innocence. Whether the husband chose to use this test depended on the kind of person he was. Joseph did not use it. Be faithful to your promises. The Nazareth vow could be lifelong or temporary. It was a particular expression of holiness not required of everyone. It was not a matter of extra merit. Jesus himself was not a Nazarite, although he was a Nazarene, which is slightly different. The important point of this passage is that if you do make promises to God, you should be faithful to them. Be faithful in response to God's faithfulness. Aaron and his sons were told by God how to pronounce God's blessing on his people. This is how God wants to bless you and me. He wants to bless you with his presence, his face shining on you. God smiles on you. He wants to be gracious to you. He is kind, merciful, forgiving, and full of love. He gives you his peace in the midst of the troubles of life and his protection. He wants to keep you from evil and falling away from him. God's desire, from first to last, is to bless you. As you experience God's faithfulness to you, your response should be to be faithful to him in all your relationships. I pray this blessing over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we, the ICF, we gather here at the Rupa Putin Church every Sunday at 10:30 for services in English. So come and just ask for the ICF service. They will guide you to where we are. If you've not been here before, just go to our website. It's icf@rupertbolton.se. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
To count, to say that I love you, to worship you now. Your love is perfect, and your heart is kind, and I'm yours forever, forever you're mine. Jesus, the anthem of my heart. Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I'm overwhelmed by all you are. Oh, how I love you. You call me
the anchor of my soul. I'm over.